This podcast is brought to you by our friends at Eden Pure. Spring is here, so spring cleaning is here too. Don't wait for the Eden Pure BioSpeed CleanVac to sell out again. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and put in code HOWIECLEAN to save an additional $15. Shipping is free. That's EdenPureDeals.com, code HOWIECLEAN.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
The Millennial with the Mic is the most listened to midday show in Boston.
We got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail. Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Get ready, pal.
It's Boston's number one midday show, The Grace Curley Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. It's Friday Junior, Jared. Almost forgot. It's Friday Junior. We are waiting for the Supreme Court confirmation vote. We will keep you up to date on that as soon as we get the news. We're also going to talk about Title 42 and how some of these vulnerable Democrats like Kristen Sinema are backing a bill to keep Title 42, and the response from the White House, which is very Tony Soprano. You know, maybe if you voted for some of this pork, something bad wouldn't happen to your borders. And that's kind of the vibe they're going with. So we are going to get into that. We'll take your calls in the 2 o'clock, all about the border, all about these issues that are just being multiplied by this administration that seems completely inept and almost seems like they're doing a lot of this stuff on purpose. We will get into all of that. But first, Jared, could I please have a little bit of journalism in the news?
And now, news.
Very fake news.
I see a lot of excellent journalism being done.
Give me the press.
I'm not sure, to be honest.
How can you ask a question when you don't know the press?
He said that journalists make up stories and make up sources.
As a journalist, I don't really like being the story here.
Very fake news.
And many of your compatriots had to change their reporting and they had to apologize and they had to correct.
This is a golden age of journalism in a lot of ways.
Mr. Biden, Mr. Biden, what flavor did you get?
News.
All right, now I do have that cut, that Anne Applebaum cut, which I'm very much looking forward to playing. I think it's one of the top three sound cuts of the day. But before we get into that, Jared, I need to read you this headline because I couldn't get through this without laughing. So this is from the New York Post. NBC News staffers concerned MSNBC's Psaki hire could taint their reputation. Disgruntled. Uh-oh. One of my favorite words.
Suck it to me, baby.
Disgruntled D.C. bureau workers. I have a feeling that all the D.C. bureau workers, I don't think they're gruntled that often. I feel like disgruntled is probably the usual temperament. Disgruntled D.C. bureau workers complained to their bosses that the high-profile hire could taint their credibility. I wonder if they had the same reaction about, like, that the Elon Musk haters did, where they found out Psaki was coming. You've broken me! I've been radicalized! The concern forced the Peacock Network's president, Noah Oppenheim, to make an impromptu phone call to the worried bureau on Friday. While I read this, Jared, could you pull up that tweet about Brian Stelter and what the CNN boss said about him? We might as well wrap this all up in one segment. Oppenheim, who does not oversee MSNBC, assured the team that NBC News did not play a role in Psaki's appointment. Here's what he was saying. They have perspective programming. This was done on the perspective programming side, not anything that reflects on NBC News. How do we tell these people? See, this is a good news, bad news. If I was going to deliver this to the people at MSNBC and NBC, it would go a little something like this. I would say to the staff, I'd first of all, bring in bagels, you know, bring in some muffins, get everyone, you know, fed and happy. And then I would say, I have to tell you guys something. I've heard your worries about the credibility, about tainting the reputation of NBC News. And this is a good news, bad news situation. The good news is, you don't have to worry about that. The bad news is we don't have a reputation to taint anymore. We lost that a long time ago and it's not coming back. So really you can live without fear. You know, there's nothing left to lose. just be happy. Just let's ride this out as long as we can until the ratings crash right into the ground. Let's just enjoy. Let's enjoy the journey. You know, it's
cash those checks while you can, folks.
Yeah. Because a wise woman once told me, Jared, there's always going to be another mountain. You're always going to want to make it move. There's always going to be something ahead, but it's the climb. That's what matters. And right now, those people at NBC, they're so worried about Jen Psaki. Honestly, if I were Jen Psaki, I would be like, you guys have done more heavy lifting than the other people I used to work for. I mean, Jen Psaki belongs with the folks at MSNBC. She is someone who actively has tried her very best to defend Joe Biden. This is like cheerleading competitions and Bring It On or something. And they're trying to tell her that she doesn't deserve a spot on the squad. No, she deserves top billing. She should be at the top of the pyramid. She has been working her butt off for this guy.
Have any of these concerned people in MSNBC been press secretary for the White House?
I'm sure at some point. You know, it really is like a revolving door. But yeah, that's just what I want to tell people at MSNBC. Don't worry about that. You guys have such bigger fish to fry. Don't worry about Psaki ruining your reputation. And now, on to the other journalism in the news. The Atlantic's Ann Applebaum sat down with David Axelrod, who probably hasn't been enjoying the news lately. I think he's a big Hillary Clinton guy, and that news cycle has been kind of rough. So they're sitting down, they're taking questions from the crowd. And one person who decided to ask a question did not follow the approved talking points. He did not follow the narrative. He actually asked a good question, which you can imagine to these journalists is shocking, because when was the last time they heard a real question thrown their way? It's probably been decades. Let's take a listen.
Do you think the media acted inappropriately when they instantly dismissed Hunter Biden's laptop as Russian disinformation? And what can we learn from that in ensuring that what we label as disinformation is truly disinformation and not reality?
I mean, my problem with Hunter Biden's laptop is I think totally irrelevant. I mean, it's not whether it's disinformation or, I mean, I don't think the Hunter Biden's business relationships have anything to do with who should be president of the United States. So I don't find it to be interesting. I mean, that would be my problem with that as a major news story.
We're going to talk about more of this tomorrow in our first panel, so stand by. And I think we have run out of time.
Oh, no, the old run out of time. I love how she says interesting. Like, you can really hear the condescension, you know? I just don't find it very interesting.
He gets two scoops of vanilla ice cream.
She friends with Leslie Stahl. She just might be.
Two scoops of vanilla ice cream.
Now, let's go into a little bit of what she doesn't find, Ann Applebaum, what she doesn't find interesting. By the way, maybe if she changed up her idea of what is interesting, The Atlantic might be doing a little bit better. You know, because maybe her idea of what's interesting isn't really coinciding with what the American people find interesting.
I mean, I don't think the Hunter Biden's business relationships have anything to do with who should be president of the United States. So.
And as that man pointed out earlier in that clip, he does say that if more Americans knew about this, there was a poll taken that like 20% or something would have voted differently. Not that I excuse those people for, you know, being ignorant to this story, but clearly other people thought it was interesting. Maybe just not as interesting as Ann Applebaum from The Atlantic finds it. Now, let's get into this story. Here's some of the things she didn't find interesting. This is from the New York Post. Number one, Joe recommends. The latest example emerged Wednesday when it was revealed that Hunter Biden got his dad to write a recommendation letter to Brown University for the son of a powerful Chinese business associate, Jonathan Lee. We talked about this. Jen Psaki was asked a question about these recommendation letters. Let's take a listen. And do I even have to tell you who asked the question? It was Peter Ducey. He finds this stuff interesting, needless to say. This is cut five. Cut four.
On another topic, was it common for President Biden to do favors for Hunter Biden's international business partners, like writing college recommendations for their kids?
I've seen the report. I have no confirmation or comment on a report about whether or not the president, when he was a private citizen, wrote a college recommendation letter for an individual.
A college recommendation letter, though, from, at the time, a former vice president would be a big deal. So do we know what the president might have gotten in return for doing a favor like that?
Again, I have no confirmation of any recommendation letter the president wrote when he was a private citizen, by the way, not serving in public office. That's even the report.
But he's the president now, and you're his spokesperson.
Correct. And he was not the president at the time of this report.
So there's evidence that the president at one point was office mates with Hunter and his brother Jim.
Wait, pause it there. I don't want to get into that one yet. It's amazing to me that this private citizen stuff is thrown around so much, because that didn't stop them. They wanted to look at Trump's history for the last 30 years, and no one really cared about him being a private citizen. But I love all this. Oh, he was a private citizen at the time. You know, he wasn't president yet, and he wasn't vice president anymore. By the way, it wasn't just one. Hunter Biden also arranged for his dad to write a letter to Georgetown University, Hunter's alma mater, on behalf of Lee's daughter, but neither child got into the elite institutions. Shows you how much weight. You know, if they had had Obama write them the letter, I bet they would have gotten in, because he can hold some attention. He can get some praise. But Joe, once again, can't you picture Joe reading this and being like, oh, man, come on, man. You didn't even let them in. I wrote that whole letter by hand.
I'm going to pull your funding if you don't let them in. Son of a bitch, they were gone in an hour.
They were accepted to Georgetown. Son of a... I promised myself I wouldn't swear anymore during the Lent season. Jared, okay, let's play the rest of this cut, because now what they're getting into is, you know how Ann Applebaum said, well, you know, I found it irrelevant. It's Hunter Biden's business. Well, turns out Hunter and Joe were business partners. In fact, they were office mates. So let's play the rest of this.
So there's evidence that the president at one point was office mates with Hunter and his brother Jim here in D.C.
It's not accurate.
That is not accurate. So when Hunter Biden is emailing a landlord, please have keys made available for new office mates, Joe Biden, Jill Biden, Jim Biden. That you're disputing.
They were not office mates, no.
They were not office mates. Okay.
Okay, very good. You know what I'm going to say to that, honestly? And you know, I think Saki usually does a good job, not her best work. I'm getting the sense that she's already checked out. Now, another number here on the New York Post is number 9, Meet Bubulinski. Former Hunter Biden business partner Tony Bubulinski revealed in October 2020 that he spoke with Joe Biden in May of 2017 after being introduced by Hunter, who reportedly described Bubulinski as the one who's helping us with the business we're doing with the Chinese. According to Bubulinski, the former vice president told him, keep an eye on my son and brother and look out for my family. Bubulinski also said he later asked Joe's brother, James Biden, about the possibility that Joe would run for president in 2020. He looks at me and kind of chuckles and says, plausible deniability. Can I have that cut, Jared? Cut 7.
I'm thinking about the Biden family. Like, how are they doing this? I know Joe decided not to run in 2016, but what if he ran in the future? Aren't they taking political risk or headline risk? And I remember looking at Jim Biden and saying, how are you guys getting away with this? Like, aren't you concerned? And he looked at me and he laughed a little bit and said, plausible deniability.
He said that out loud?
Yes, he said it directly to me, one-on-one in a cabana at the Peninsula Hotel after about a, you know, hour and a half, two-hour meeting.
But we're supposed to believe Joe Biden had no idea what was going on. Can we get the other Bubulinski cut here, Jared? Cut 8.
They were sort of whining and dining me and presenting the strength of the Biden family to get me more engaged and want to take on the CEO role and, you know, develop Sinohawk both in the United States and around the world in partnership with CEFC. And I, as you can imagine, I've been asked by 100 people over the last month, you know, why would you be meeting with Joe Biden? And I sort of turned the question around to the people that asked me, why at 10:38 on the night of May 2nd would Joe Biden take time out of his schedule to sit down with me in a dark bar at the Beverly Hilton, sort of positioned behind a column so people couldn't see us, to have a discussion about his family and my family and business at a very high level?
Where, you know what,
Jim Biden sat and Hunter Biden participated in.
Those are very good questions by Tony Bubulinski. Unfortunately, I just heard from Ann Applebaum. She does not find those questions interesting. Those do not pique her curiosity at all.
People sit in the dark behind columns at bars all the time. Jeez.
844-500-4242. We have a little bit more of this, and then we're going to move on to some other news of the day. But I just can't pass up this sound. It's really amazing. And also, CBS has a new report about the Bidens that we'll play for you when we come back. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. She's a master thespian, trained in the art of performance.
These pretzels are making me thirsty!
This is The Grace Curley Show.
Today's poll question is brought to you by the Freedom Model for Addictions program. Gain total freedom from addiction and educate yourself on what you need to do in order to break the habits that are affecting your personal relationships, your work productivity, and your health. Go to freedommodel.org and use code GRACE to save $50. That's freedommodel.org. Jared, what's the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Who's the most corrupt Biden? Joe, Hunter, Jim, or Dr. Jill?
See, I think the dark horse in this situation is actually Jim Biden. Because think about it. He's Joe's brother. He looks just like Joe. He could probably have meetings pretending he was Joe and nobody would know the difference as long as he talked about ice cream.
Mumble and talk about ice cream over a teleconference.
It's not hard to impersonate Joe Biden. People do it on our show all the time. And he's involved in a lot of this. So I'm switching my vote, which I do every day. I'm switching it to Jim.
Jim is only at 3% in last place. 6% say Jill, 13% for Hunter, 78% for the big guy.
See, come on, man. A lot of these people haven't listened to the CBS's latest report. This was Catherine Herridge, and she was talking to Republican Chuck Grassley about Hunter and Jim Biden. Let's play a little bit of cut three, Jared.
CBS News has learned that more than 150 transactions involving either Hunter or James Biden's global business affairs were flagged as concerning by U.S. banks for further review. Some of those concerns included large wire transfers.
This is the way it is.
After a nearly three-year investigation, Republican Senator Chuck Grassley told CBS News he believes the president's younger brother, James, was instrumental in Hunter Biden's Chinese business ventures.
I think James Biden was very much a part of this.
James Biden has worked as an entrepreneur and recently in the healthcare industry.
We will focus on James Biden, the president's brother.
This week, Grassley released bank records indicating James Biden's company, the Lionhall Group, was paid directly by a Chinese financed consulting firm.
These records come directly from the banks, no third party.
You're absolutely right.
In our interview, Grassley did not allege the Bidens broke the law, but he said it's concerning that both Hunter and James Biden were promised retainers for their China work totaling $165,000 a month in 2017 after Joe Biden left the vice presidency.
We have people with the Biden name dealing with Chinese business people that have a relationship through the Communist Party. I think it's very concerning.
This 2019 subpoena, verified by CBS News, shows federal investigators also sought Hunter and James Biden's business records from a major U.S. bank dating back to 2014 as part of a separate probe by the U.S. attorney in Delaware into possible violations of tax and foreign lobbying laws.
I think Hunter and James Biden should not have entered into those relationships. In the best case,
let's pause it there. You know, there's a lot of red flags in that report, but the number one for me is entrepreneur. I always thought that when I watched The Bachelor, someone says, I'm an entrepreneur. I'm like, I'm skeptical of you. 844-500-4242. Woke or joke is coming up next. Get on the lines now. 844-500-4242.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
844-500-4242. We still have some lines open for Woke or Joke. And Woke or Joke is brought to you by Aviva Trattoria. Easter is less than 2 weeks away, and Aviva has you covered with an incredible Easter brunch. The Easter Bunny will be in Malden and Maynard from 12 to 2, and their special brunch menu is to die for. Chef Anthony has been in the kitchen putting his twist on many traditional brunch favorites, starting off with Al Pacino short rib hash. Jared, this is not the kind of hash you can find in a can. This is braised short rib, shredded potatoes.
I love a good braised short rib hash.
I know you do. And fried eggs. They
Any
also
rabbit stew on special?
It does not say anything about rabbit stew, but they also have a steak and eggs entree with sliced steak tips and Aviva's home fries. The key is to make your reservation soon at any of their locations, and that includes Maynard, Marlboro, Maynard, Wrentham, or Westford. I had Maynard in there twice.
You did.
That's Malden.
Maynard's great.
Maynard, Marlboro, Malden, Wrentham, or Westford. Parking is free at all locations, and you can check out their site at avivatrattoria.com. Again, we have a couple lines open. It's 844-500-4242. If you win Woke or Joke, you will be entered to win a $50 gift card from Aviva Trattoria. Now, here's the deal. Here's how this works. You call in the Wizard of Woke, a.k.a. Taylor Cormier, is going to read you a headline. You have to decide, is this woke? Like, is this really happening? Or is this a joke? Do one of these two sickos make it up? Well, now it's time to play. It's time for Woke or Joke.
Everything woke turns to shit, okay?
I started a joke.
Ha, 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 ha. Pink-haired wokers.
The word woke means loser.
And the joke was on me. Oh, no.
And I always like to tell people before we start, if you're calling in and you're trying and you don't get through, keep trying, because we go through people quickly and the line opens up. So you got to keep trying. So now we have full lines, but don't stop calling throughout the course of this game. It's 844-500-4242. Taylor, how are you feeling today? Are you ready to go?
I think it's going to be a tough week for the callers.
Confident.
I don't want to put the kibosh on it, but I don't know. Some good ones here today.
Okay, well, let's start with Kim. Kim, are you ready for your woke or joke headline?
Yes, I am.
All right, Kim, here is your headline. Tourist sues New York City caricature artist for fat-shaming him in drawing.
I think it's woke.
That's a joke.
By the way, that was a joke. That's not true.
Our first contestant is a big dime loser. That stinks. Sorry, Kim. Yeah, I always thought about that, with caricature artists, because they're never very flattering. I've had them done before.
They're not supposed to be.
I know, but it just must be awkward giving that to someone. Like, here you go, and the person's like, this is what you think
you
I look like?
Give it to them. The person pays for it. That's basically the contract.
For an extra 50 cents, I'll give you a 5-head instead of a 4-head.
Please make fun of me. Here's my money.
Ugh, I don't like that. Let's go to Mike. You're next up on Woke or Joke. Are you ready for your headline, Mike?
I am.
Okay. All right, Mike, here is your headline. Seattle Museum Summer Camp teaches 12-year-olds the art of drag.
I'm going to say that's a joke.
That's woke. That's true.
Wow.
Not a joke. Not a joke.
We are on a roll here. A lot of big-time losers in the crowd.
It's called the Dragtastic Summer Camp, the art of drag, where kids 12 to 18 will have the chance to investigate drag history and create their own drag personas.
That seems inappropriate.
Hair and makeup techniques, and you can develop your character's stage presence. And at the end of the week, the participants will get to celebrate their new drag personas with a private showcase.
What happened to, like, basketball camp? You know, soccer camp.
Not everybody's good at those things.
I wasn't good at them either, but I still played. You think I was good? I wasn't good at any sports, but I still played.
Probably better than me.
That's true, but that's not really saying much. all right, let's go to... Wow, no one has won yet. This is kind of sad. Let's go to Michael. Michael, I hope you can break this trend. Are you ready for your headline?
I am. I hope so.
Okay, here we go.
All right, Michael, here's your headline. In Instagram Live, AOC wonders why power plants don't import electricity like they do coal.
That's woke.
That's a joke.
Ah!
Made it up.
By the way, that was a joke. That's not true.
Oh, wow. I don't know. You're on a roll here. Okay, I hope someone... Let's go to Kathy. Kathy, I think you're going to be a winner. Are you ready for your headline, Kathy?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
All right, Kathy. Here is your headline. Sorry, Massachusetts. The Fluffernutter has a pretty racist past.
That's woke.
That's a joke!
That's a joke! Oh, no!
By the way, that was a joke. That's not true.
Wow.
Those are the kind that I would write.
Yes, because I know.
When I was helping write woke or joke headlines, which I really don't anymore, all of mine were basically the same, which is you take any product and you say, we know you like seltzer, but did you know it has a racist history? And it
the story is
good.
More complicated than it seems. Yeah, stuff like that.
I love Fluffernutter. I don't have it as much anymore. Oh, my God. I was a PB and Fluff. And sometimes if you were feeling crazy on the weekends, PB, Fluff, and jelly. Can't beat that.
I was always and
that's
still
how
am
black
a,
holes are created. What are you doing?
I like sugar.
I was always and still am a PB and J kid. Fluff is okay, but it can only take so much.
Even as a kid, you were kind of an old man.
Yeah.
You're like, it's too sweet.
I could do peanut butter and jelly sandwiches every day for the rest of my life.
Really?
I would not have a complaint about it.
Eh.
I'd look forward to it every day.
See, peanut butter for me is like, I go through phases. Same with bananas.
Oh, no.
Same with eggs, too. Like, I can have an egg. I can go through an egg phase where I'm just egg crazy, and then I can't look at them.
Fluffernutter with eggs on it?
If I could incorporate peanuts or peanut butter into every single meal, I could. This morning, I had peanut butter banana oatmeal. I could have had peanut butter and jelly for lunch and maybe some peanut chicken for dinner. Who knows?
Peanut crazy. And Cracker Jacks, too. Cracker Jills.
Cracker Jills, yeah.
All right, let's go to Amy. You're next up on Woke or Joke. Are you ready for your headline, Amy?
Okay.
Okay.
All right, Amy, here's your headline. I'm trying to raise my kids as homosexuals, and I never even have to say gay.
That's actually funny. I'm going to say that's a joke.
No, it's woke. Oh, my God.
This
wow.
is crazy.
Joke. Not a joke.
We've never had this many losses.
I'm starting to root for the callers now. I mean, I've got five in a row here. Where
you're
stumped
root,
them all.
Root for the home team.
Yeah. If they don't win, it's a shame.
All right. Okay, let's hope. Who do I have confidence in? None of you, honestly. You're all disappointing me. Let's go to Jeff. Jeff, do you think you can beat Taylor Cormier?
Of course.
Okay, Jeff.
It's always the confident ones who blow it.
I'm on your side, Jeff. I'm not trying to stump you here, but let's go. Here's your headline.
He's working for you.
He's too powerful for some good.
I have no control over my powers. All right, here's your headline. Chicago area church announces it is fasting from whiteness during Lent.
That is woke.
Yes, it is woke. Very good.
Woo-hoo! Good job, Jeff.
Not a joke.
You'll be entered to win a gift card. You have a very good chance now of winning it because you're the only one on the list.
Yeah, the wheel of names is going to be pretty pretty light this week.
Monolithic, yeah.
That's interesting. They're fasting from whiteness.
So what they're doing, this is the First United Church of Oak Park near Chicago, and what they're doing is they are abstaining from using any hymns or spirituals that were penned by white people. And they are giving a voice more to the black songwriters. Even if the songs, which many of the spirituals are public domain, meaning they're free, anybody can use them without having to pay a royalty, they're donating what would be those royalties to a local music program in the name of, I don't know, anti-white supremacy
you're
for
white,
some reason.
Then you Ben Affleck.
In the name of anti-Ben Affleck, yeah. That makes sense. All right, let's go to... Thank you for that explanation. Let's go to Ed. You're next up on Woke or Joke. Are you ready for your headline, Ed?
I am.
All right, Ed, here's your headline. Palm Springs looks to create a universal basic income pilot for transgender residents.
Woke.
That is woke.
Very good, Ed.
Wow. Not a joke.
Look out, Jeff. We have two people on the list now.
Oh yeah, it's a weird story. So basically, if you're transgender or even non-binary, you're going to get a payout every month.
I heard this on the Daily Wire podcast. It is kind of crazy. It's a good chunk of change too, right?
Yeah, they're looking to get a portion of a $35 million state grant in order to launch this pilot program. And I think, yeah, it's like $900 a month that you'd get just for being transgender.
But you have to live in California?
You'd have to live in the Palm Springs County, yeah.
Not a punishment, by the way. Palm Springs, very nice.
Oh, Palm Springs, very nice. But you're still in California, though. Let's not forget.
That's not exactly California. Palm Springs isn't quite California.
It's an oasis, right?
Yes.
Yeah, my brother actually is in San Diego now, but he's been to Palm Springs a couple times. Said awesome. He just loves it. All right, let's go to...
three more headlines here.
Perfect. We have three people on the line. Steve, you're next up on Woke or Joke. Are you ready, Steve?
Yes.
All right, Steve.
I'm ready.
Here is your headline. Estate of ukulele icon Tiny Tim releasing fundraiser album Ukes for Ukraine.
Woke.
That's a joke.
By the way, that was a joke. That's
Did
not
you
true.
Understand that headline, Grace?
Not really.
No. Do you know who Tiny Tim was?
Yeah, he's the God Bless Us Everyone.
No. Yes, the Charles Dickens character. But Tiny Tim was tiptoe through the tulips. You've never heard this.
He sounds like the Dr. Pepper guy.
I don't know the Dr. Pepper guy.
Yes, you do. You guys know the Dr. Pepper guy.
The one that's based on Prince.
Pause it for a sec. The guy who
Sweet
goes,
piss in a can.
Yes.
Oh, that's Justin Guarino?
Yes.
Is that who it is?
Yes.
Okay, that Dr. Pepper guy. Okay.
I wonder if he's basing it off Tiny Tim.
Tiny Tim was this big, weird-looking guy who sang in a falsetto and played the ukulele. He got married on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson to a very beautiful woman, if I remember correctly. But yeah, that was...
Well, comparatively.
comparatively speaking, everyone.
I mean, you'd remember better than any of us, I can tell you that much.
It was weird and wild stuff.
I'll say. Yeah, we're good on that.
Yeah, it was strange.
Yeah, that's strange. Tiny Tim, I just think of the little guy in the play.
God bless us, everyone.
Dan, you're next up on Woke or Joke. Are you ready for your headline, Dan?
Yes, I am.
All right, Dan, here is your headline. Get ready for the boykini. Pac Sun introduces men's two-piece swimsuit.
Sounds woke, but I think it's a joke.
Yes, it's a joke.
By the way, that was a joke. It's not true.
I didn't read that headline out loud before, and it's pretty funny.
Yeah, you almost broke there. Good job. All right, Alan, you're next up. Are you ready for your headline, Alan? Oh, okay. Alan, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm here.
Here we go, Alan.
Okay, Alan, here's your headline. No Sense and Sensibility. Jane Austen canceled in university. Decolonize the curriculum drive.
I go with that's woke.
That is woke. Very good.
Very good, Alan.
Not a joke. Not a joke.
A good second act of winners.
Yeah, yeah.
Jeff has some competition for that Aviva Trattoria gift card.
Yeah, they really pulled it out there at the end. They got some winners. I don't think that you giggling hurt either because, I mean, you hear someone laughing. It's like, how can that be real? 844-500-4242. Unfortunately, I stole the Cracker Jill.
No, I wasn't going to use that one anyway because that was one of the bigger stories that was out there this week. Yeah.
Yeah. I read a really good headline today that Cracker Jill is now identifying, or that Cracker Jack decided to identify as Cracker Jill, and now she's winning all of the swimming competitions.
Oh.
No? I thought that was good.
No. Yeah, it's okay. Yeah.
I thought it was good. It wasn't my
fluffer
tweet.
Nutter of jokes.
Now you guys are bashing fluffer nutter. This is unacceptable.
I'm sorry. I can't. The marshmallow on bread thing, I could never. It was a texture thing, maybe. I couldn't do. I couldn't do marshmallow on bread. Like
yeah,
that.
You're a texture guy. Huh?
I am.
Yeah.
844-500-4242. All right, that's it for Woke or Joke. We'll be back after the break. Thank you, Taylor Cormier, the Wizard of Woke. Don't go anywhere. We'll take your calls, and we're going to talk a little bit about Title 42 in the 2 o'clock hour. Don't go anywhere. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
All right, they are counting up the votes to confirm Judge Jackson. And Kamala Harris is there, the vice president. This is undoubtedly going to be one of the successes that Joe Biden and his administration tout for the next couple of months. I think, you know, being friends with Obama was going to be number one, but that's not working out. If you saw the video, wouldn't appear that the BFFs are as tight as they used to be back in the BuzzFeed days. BuzzFeed friends don't translate to TikTok friends because we didn't get a TikTok. And I'm still mad about that. Hey, Jared, I have something I would like to announce here. And this is part of our gas giveaway. Every day, every weekday, we announce a $50 winner. And also Howie announces a $50 winner of a gas giveaway. It's brought to you by Tire Tutor, the first e-commerce marketplace for tires, bridging the gap between online shoppers and local tire shops. Your tires affect your gas mileage, so Tire Tutor saves you time and money by finding the tire at a location close to you. All you have to do to enter this contest to win the $50 is go to gracecurlyshow.com and fill out the little entry form. You just put in your email. It doesn't cost you anything. And you could be entered to win $50. You go to gracecurlyshow.com. Today's winner is Donna.
You white, then you been Affleck.
No.
Sorry, Donna, they're alphabetical.
You won! You did it!
Sorry about that.
I was going to say, that's not right. Congratulations, Donna. You won $50 for gas from Howie and myself. So look for an email from store@HowieCarshow.com with instructions. Hey, speaking of good news, did you hear about Representative Fred Upton? So it was funny. All the media always tries to ask, you know, like, is Donald Trump really a kingmaker? We don't know. It would appear that the power he wields is still pretty strong because Michigan is a critical state and a winnable state for the GOP if they play things right. And Congressman Fred Upton, who was one of the 10 House Republicans who voted to impeach then President Donald Trump in January 2021, you know what he announced? He's going to be retiring. He's decided to retire rather than seek re-election in 2022. That's interesting that he's just one of the 10 House Republicans who voted to impeach Trump. They all seem to be heading for the door. I wonder why. It would appear the kingmaker is still sitting on the throne. All right, we'll be back. We're going to talk Title 42 and some of these Dems who are supporting keeping it in place. Don't go anywhere. It's the Grace Curley Show.